Well, turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 3. I think a lot of the testimony of what we've heard this morning ties in very clearly with the psalm, and I trust will be an encouragement to you. I haven't made notes for this morning. I just wanted to share from my heart in many ways this morning, and hearing your heart just prompted me to do that as well. It's a psalm that David wrote as he felt abandoned by God and by his family. Particularly, it was written at a time when Absalom was chasing him. And I think all of us feel a little bit like David does express himself in this particular psalm, that sometimes we really feel as if God is far away. But there's some great encouragement from the psalm that we can draw from. David writes, "O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying to me, 'God will not deliver him.' But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God. Strike my enemies on the jaw, break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people." I wonder if you've ever felt like David felt as if God is far away, felt rejected by God, rejected as if God has forgotten totally about you. Certainly David was in a place like this. It felt that he had been rejected in every single way. Certainly we know from the circumstances of the psalm that he was feeling rejection from one who he thought was, from a human perspective, as close as you could get. His own son had turned his back on him. His own son had usurped the power that God had given to him. His own son had committed adultery with the wives that God had given to David. Friends, David felt abandoned. Look at the pain that he felt. As he experiences it, he feels like everybody is against him. Three times in the first two verses, we come across the word many. Many. In the reality, it was only Absalom that had turned against David. In reality, it was Absalom who had caused this division between David and his family. But friends, for David, it felt like everybody was against him. So he says, many. It feels like the whole world is against you. One of the symptoms of feeling rejected is sleeplessness, because later on we discover that when he feels strength again, he's able to sleep. But we know that David was having sleepless nights. I don't know if you've ever felt that. When things are going against you, I know oftentimes that your mind runs away with you, doesn't it? It feels like everything is against you. You can't subdue your mind. David was feeling like that. It feels even David expresses as if God had abandoned him. He says there, many are saying to me, God will not deliver him. Deep down, David was asking that question. Even although the people were saying, oh, this man who claimed to have God at his side, this man who claimed that God had put him on the throne, this man whom David had proclaimed and had kind of given a special place of worship to, this man whom, or this God whom David had danced before. Now, people are saying to David, maybe God's not going to save you. Maybe God isn't with you. Maybe all that you say that you believe about God isn't true. David felt that, friends. David felt as if even God was abandoning him. Have you been there? Sometimes you may feel like that. Sometimes you may wonder, is God really real? I think we've all gone through that experience at some point in time. Friend, in some ways you have to face that moment. It's called the crisis of belief. The moment when you're faced with the reality of, is God real or isn't he real? The crisis of belief. David felt like that, friend. It's the most lonely place you can ever be as a person. But friend, the wonderful reality is that the scriptures don't abandon us there. Because David goes on and has to think and remind himself of all that God had meant to him in the past. So what did God mean to him in the past? Well, he remembers in verse 3 that God was with him physically. He says, you are a shield around me. Friend, even although David felt abandoned by everybody else, even although his own son was against him, David knew that at least with God at his side, he had protection. Nobody could attack him if God had not allowed it. Perhaps he had read the book of Job at some point in time. Perhaps he had realized that even although Job had lost everything from a human perspective that seemed meaningful, friends, Job still did not deny God. Because he knew that God would protect him physically. But David is also reminded, friends, that God doesn't only protect him physically, God protects him spiritually. He says, your glory, you bestow your glory on me. What's the glory of God, friends? Friend, the glory of God is a wonderful description of the very presence of God. When you look at the pictures of, or the images in scripture we have of God's manifestation on earth, friends, every time we come across that, those phrases or those pictures, there is the picture of glory, of the glory of God. The glory of God shone around. When God met with the nation of Israel on the mountain to give them the Ten Commandments, the glory filled that place. When the temple, friends, was dedicated to the Lord and they moved the Ark of the Covenant into the temple, the glory came upon the temple. When Isaiah saw a vision of God in his heaven, friends, he saw the angels singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." In the book of Revelation, friend, when the people gather around the throne, they are reminded, "Worthy is He to receive glory and honor and power and praise." Because, friends, David knew that God not only protected him physically, but God was protecting him spiritually. David knew, friends, that within himself he was a wicked man. He had committed adultery. He had committed murder. He had sinned on many occasions, friends. Yet God still chose to put His Spirit on him. What a great encouragement for us to be reminded, even although, friends, we are sinners, even although it feels as if God is far away, friends, God will never leave you or forsake you. His Spirit is with you. God doesn't leave, friends. He's always there. David is reminded that God doesn't only protect him physically and spiritually, but God also protects him emotionally. Look what it says in verse 3. The third part of it says, "You lift up my head." You see, when you're feeling lonely, one of the first things you do is you go into a slump, don't you? Metaphorically, we say we drop our heads. But David says, "Lord, You don't allow my head to be dropped. You lift up my head. You lift me up emotionally. You give me the strength I need to cope with every single day." What a great encouragement, friends, David could draw from that reality. God reminds David, in whatever way we're not sure, we just know that David could still stand tall, even although everything around him seems to have been lost, everything around him seems to be against him. David could still stand tall with his head held high because he knew God was with him. The great encouragement, friends, is while David felt alone, he was reminded he's never lonely. That's my encouragement to you today, friends. Look what he says in verse 4. "To the Lord I cried aloud, and He answers me." Oh, friends, you know, when we're lonely, we just want to hear from somebody, don't we? When it feels as if God is far away, friends, we just need to hear from somebody. God comes in metaphorically, puts His arm around David and says to him, "I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you." Even although Absalom may have convinced the world to turn against you, I am with you. David, friends, is strengthened physically and spiritually and emotionally and relationally. Because he knows that God is with him and he is with God, friends, we are reminded, thirdly, that in the midst of that there is great peace. What is that peace? Well, verse 5, it's restful sleep. You see, when you know God is with you, friend, you don't need to worry. You can just give it over to God. Put your head on the pillow and know God is in control. Not only that, it's peace in the midst of turmoil. David's circumstances didn't change immediately, friends. His circumstances remained exactly the same for quite a long time. And yet, in the midst of the turmoil, David could speak prophetically about the peace that he has and that he will have. That wonderful devotion we had as part of the opening, friends, that we can walk around with confidence, friends, because there is coming the day when there'll be no more tears or weeping or whatever James reminded us of. Where there's coming that day, friends, where while we're in the midst of that, friends, we don't need to fear. Why don't we need to fear? Is because, friends, God will deal with our situation better than we can ever deal with it. Look what it says a little bit further on. Arise, O Lord, David writes. Deliver me, O God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. Now, I don't think we would pray that today, would we? I don't think any of us would kind of, you know, want to say, Lord, go and break the teeth of my wicked. I think we may like to think that. But we may not say it like David did. And friends, there's a simple reason why David says it like this. The simple reason is Hebrew is a very concrete language. English is a language full of metaphors. But Hebrew isn't. Hebrew, friends, says it like it is. So while we may be thinking that, David is saying that. But friends, we can believe the same thing. We can just maybe not say it as viciously, perhaps, as David said it. But we can still pray, Lord, you deal with my enemies. You deal with them. Even if it means messing the immobilizer up on the car. God will deal with your enemy, friend. Doesn't matter. God's in control. And you don't need to fear at all. Now, what's the great encouragement from this passage? It ends off by saying, from the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. What's David talking about? Friend, he's talking about Jesus. Because, friends, David foreshadows Jesus, who experienced abandonment as much as Jesus did. Have you ever thought about Christ on the cross? When we go around Easter time, we often focus on that little phrase where Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? Why? Why did the Father forsake the Son? Why do we sometimes go through difficult times? Friend, the beauty of it is that God was with Jesus, in Jesus, didn't forsake him to the grave. Because at the end, when he said, it is finished, the end of the abandonment resulted in deliverance. So David could write the psalm after the event Because he had been delivered. He was delivered from the attack of his family. He was delivered from the rejection of the nation. He was restored to the throne again. Why? Because, friends, he was foreshadowing what Jesus would do for us. If anybody ever experienced absolute abandoned feeling and loneliness, it was Christ on the cross. So when you're going through those moments when you wonder, does God understand what I'm going through at the moment? You can say, yes. Jesus went through what I'm going through. But he did it for my sake. He had his own father turn his back on him because he was carrying my sin on his shoulders. From that, David could write, from the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. Friends, that's the blessing we have today. The blessing of the Spirit of God in our hearts through what Christ has done for us. If you're feeling alone, God's with you. If you're feeling alone, God's got your back. If you're feeling alone, turn to God, just like David did. I cried out to God. Friend, when you're feeling alone, God will be with you. God will strengthen you. We're going to sing a song as we close our service. That song about, I speak the name of Jesus over you. We've heard some people that need a special prayer this morning. If you need a special prayer this morning, why don't you stick your hand up? Say, I need a prayer this morning. For those that are around, those that have got their hands up, won't you, when you sing that song, just lay your hands on those people that have got their hands up saying, I need the Lord with me. Let's sing this song as a prayer for them. I speak the name of Jesus over you. Somebody come and lay hands on James and Armini this morning as well. Thank you. Ben, would you do that for me, please? Let's sing the song.